Polyethylene.
This is Gary from Aerodrome, and this is Kevin Patrick from Aerodrome.
Don't worry, I don't have anything else, and I'm sorry, I'm not just gonna pretend. So I'm guessing what that means is that I'm
money. Fantastic. All right, first question. How are you guys enjoying the current tour?
Yeah. Going pretty good. Yeah, you know, it started off a little rough. We had a couple starter shows up in Washington. They were bar shows, and a few fans showed up, and we had some technical difficulties. But I thought at the end of the day, we got it together. By the time we played San Francisco at DNA Lounge, it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was. It started out rough. We had, you know, two shows that were kind of under the weather, so to say. But I think it's picking up right now since the San Francisco All Ages show. I think it's been getting better and better. And the San Diego show is kind of, you know, an upper as well. So I think it's going pretty well from here.
All right. So what's your favorite thing to do to pass the time while you're touring?
Listen to the radio. Listen to country music on the radio. Christian broadcasting.
Yeah, I brought a bunch of Where's Waldo books, and I like to just look for Waldo, and sometimes I can't really find him, so I just look for other stuff because there's all kinds of funny things happening in those books. Check it out.
Everybody loves Waldo. All right, so you guys have both Eugene, Oregon, and San Diego listed as your hometowns, and it's my understanding that Gary now lives in San Diego. So what's the story behind that, and how does the band still function when Gary's in San Diego and the rest of you are in Eugene?
Well, dysfunctional.
Yes. Basically what happened was we had a band in Eugene and two of the members quit the band, and I hated living in Eugene anyway, and I went to the U of O, University of Oregon, and it sucked. And I said the only reason I'm in this town is to have a band, and I don't have that now, and my dad lives in San Diego. I'm just going to go and live and crash at his house. And then Kevin got sad and...
Yeah, and so I said to Gary, well, I need to be doing music one way or another, so either I'm going to do it with Aerodrome or I'm going to do it some other way. And Gary said, well, let's go for it. We kept it together. We found a couple new members, and we practice. We do a lot of stuff online, and then we pull it together for shows and for recording and stuff, and it seems to work out. But we're still very much a trash can sort of band. We're always late for everything, and, you know, we like to sleep in, and we like to have as much fun as possible, if you know what I mean, rock and roll.
Awesome. So what age group do you think your music appeals to most?
Definitely 10 to 14.
Definitely 5 to 6. No, 10 to 14.
Alrighty.
It's true.
So how do you guys feel about that? Is that kind of what you're going for? Or?
No, you know what? I'll tell you how it goes. Like, I go online and I check out all the bands that are similar to us, you know, in the same genre. Bands like The Killers, The Bravery, The Faint. You can just look, you know, go to any of their photos, go to their main page. The people who are listening and caring about these bands are all really young, you know. And so it doesn't bother me at all that our fans are young. I think that's great. If that's who's going to go to the shows and who's going to buy the CDs, then that's who we care about.
Yeah, and plus I had another band called Dismantled that signed to Metropolis Records. And I basically cut my teeth on making music that's really sophisticated and for nerds, basically. And I wanted to kind of, you know, dumb it down, so to say, to have a wider audience. And that's kind of the result of Aerodrome. I wanted to have a simpler band to, you know, access more people.
And young people are actually really nice, you know. A lot of older people, we play bar shows sometimes. And actually, we had a really good experience here tonight at Beauty Bar. But sometimes we will play bars, and, you know, people, they've been around for a while. They've heard a lot of bands. It's hard to impress people, you know. You play to younger people, and they look up to you, and it works out.
All right, so where do you guys think music is going in the next few years?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that one out for a few years now because I've been trying to predict what the electronic trend is kind of doing, and I've been trying to do work on Aerodrone and Dismantled, my two bands. I've been trying to get that with the current of music, and I still don't know where it's going. It seems to be getting simpler and simpler and simpler. And
I don't really see time as linear anymore, especially when it comes to music, and I feel like everything just wraps around. And right now we're going through something, at least the music we're doing is we're pulling out all this new wave kind of thing, the new wave revival, electro stuff, but I'm not sure that that's going to last, 10 years or something. I think that there's another movement that's going
to
pick
up. I think we'll be able to shift and morph to fit the current music climate as it so fits.
We're a very, chameleon-like band, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Is there a certain reaction that you hope to get from your fans? Are you trying to present any kind of message, or is it more for the sake of just kind of creating the music?
I think there is a message. There's a very strong message in the lyrics of Aerodrone, and that's not to take everything seriously and kind of everything with a grain of salt. I have a song called Scene Boy, and it's basically saying, I need new shoes, I need new pants, the ones I have don't fit me right, which is kind of a sarcastic take on the current trend of, scene kids. And then I say, I'm just a phase you won't remember in the end, which is kind of another take on the, kind of emptiness of the music climate that a lot of bands that we hear today we're not going to remember when we grow out of it. So I think it's all a little tongue-in-cheek, and if people read into the lyrics, I think they'll see that, and that'll be kind of my little message to the world.
Yeah, I think we're a really sarcastic band. I think we like to wallow in our own obscenity. That's why, sometimes we bust out the keytar. I count on your hands the number of bands that have done that. We're in a small group with people like Devo and Prince.
The keytar is totally awesome. You have to have the keytar.
Yeah, we're not really flamboyant about it or anything, but we're definitely tacky, and I really love that. I want to stand out.
So why did you guys decide to become musicians?
I never wanted to be a musician. I played a board game called Life, and every time I'd get a card that said musician on it, I'm like, God, that career must suck. And I never knew until I started making electronic music and putting it online, and people thought it was really good. And then all of a sudden I got signed to a label, and I'm like, wow, I can do more music. And so I did more music. And then people messaged me online and said, hey, check out my band, which would be Kevin Patrick, and that's how we met, online.
Yeah.
So you guys listed The Fane and The Killers and some other bands like that as influences. How would you explain that influence?
I definitely like The Faint. I like their, vocal tone and their synthesized sound. And I think they're very, very industrial in a sense, kind of like my other band, Dismantled. If you go to their shows, they have, war imagery behind them. And if kids saw the band Frontline Assembly, they'd see the same thing. But, kids, I'm actually wearing a Frontline shirt. And that's an industrial band that's been doing that, in the 80s. And now it's kind of, they're bringing it back in a sarcastic way. So just vocoders and synths have been, fascinating for me since my background is electronic music. And The Killers and the Faint kind of add a progressive edge to that. So I feel like by, working that electronic aspect of it, we're getting a futuristic kind of angle on it. And I really like that.
So what do you think kind of sets you apart from those bands?
I think we're definitely more progressive than those bands. I think we could do a lot of twists and turns in our songs that are unusual for bands like that. And just our eccentric background of, musicians. Like, my favorite band is Frontline Assembly, and I doubt any of the guys in The Killers or The Faint, listen to that stuff. So, I'm working with people who all have different, tastes. Like, Sean likes hardcore music, and, Kevin likes indie and vast, stuff like that.
I like random stuff. Like, my favorite two bands are The Doors and Vast, which, I can't really explain, but it's not just all about the Killers and those other new bands. Like, we really do pull from a lot of stuff like New Order and Psychedelic Furs and U2 and stuff. We just, you know, a lot of times when you name influences these days, you want to be as current as possible.
We just want to be as straightforward as possible. Like, yeah, the Faint and the Killers.
We're an accessible band. We're very nice guys.
And I can vouch for their niceness. What's the worst part about being involved in the music business?
The fact that you never know where it's going to go. I've been doing my band Dismantled for a few years now, and I still don't know what I've done with it or where I've taken it. And I think the same thing lies in the music business. You can't really predict what's going to happen. All you can hope is put as much effort into it as possible and hope for the best. But the effort you put into it doesn't necessarily mean the result you're going to get back from it. So you could work your ass off and still get nowhere, or, you know, get the lucky chance and have it go somewhere. So it's really a crapshoot.
All ages or 21 and up shows?
All ages. Yeah, we prefer to do all ages. That's where the party's at, for real.
Let's see. Which cartoon character do you relate to the most, and why?
Batman from the animated series. I've been watching that since I was a kid, and that was the most fascinating character for me. And, you know, it's dark, it's gothic, I'm into it. Yeah!
Now, I would really say any cartoon character that helps sell cereal, because they're always just so enthusiastic. Like, they're like, go get them, Tiger, or they're like, Twix are for kids. Or, you know, even like Chester Cheetah. I know that's not really cereal, but you can do that if you want. You can add the milk and it's still good.
All right, so who created that nice airplane logo that you guys have?
I did, with the help of my ex-bandmate, Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I'm going to have a logo with an airplane on it. And he sent me like a file, and he's like, is that what you want? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I found it online. I'm like, yeah, let's make it our own.
We actually invented the airplane as well. So anyone who gets upset about trademarks, you know, the generosity of the mark, I'm sorry, but we created it.
I just want to comment that Aerodrone, the name is the drone of engines, is what I kind of wanted to convey in the, you know, in the sound. I want to, because I love airplanes, I love takeoff, and just that droning sound makes it so cool, and that's kind of what I wanted to represent in Aerodrone, is kind of my takeoff from the boring. And yeah,
it's also the sound that an arrow makes when it's flying through the air, and it's also the name of a transformer, which we didn't know until we started playing shows, and all of these kids who are really into robots showed up, and they dance really well, and so I'm down with that. Aerodrone, General Robot, that's cool.
Yeah, robots, weird things like transformers. If you search Google for Aerodrone, you're going to find a quote that says, Aerodrone sounds like the voice of angels.
Yeah, and it's true, you know? I mean, I don't know if we do and all, but that's how it looks online anyway.
That's totally awesome. So bands kind of use MySpace now instead of websites. How do you think MySpace has changed music?
Oh, I remember back in 98 or 90, well, no, 2000, I guess, we had mp3.com. And that really helped my band at the time, Dismantled, get promoted and signed. And now MySpace is kind of the new mp3.com, I think, for bands. And, you know, I wasn't really into MySpace when it came out. My bandmates kind of said, check it out, you can have bands on there. And they just made a MySpace profile for bands. And then I realized I'm getting a lot of MySpace messages, you know, through that thing. And it's a good promotion tool. It's the new mp3.com. It's the new trend. So I think it works out pretty well. Like, if it wasn't for MySpace, I think it'd be a lot harder to promote the band right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. MySpace has actually done a lot of good stuff for this band, inadvertently, in a way. Like, we kind of got lucky, and we ended up getting featured through MySpace, and that brought us a lot of attention, which, you know, you can't really get. It's tough to reach people in other parts of the world, you know, when you can't tour everywhere. And now we have a lot of fans in, you know, other countries and stuff. you can't really get that other than through a networking site like, you know, MySpace or whatever the next big thing is going to be.
What hobbies other than music do you guys have?
I'm a nerd. I just do computers. I like to play tennis. I like to swim. I don't like to lift weights. I don't like gyms. I like touring and hanging out at clubs. I don't know, I'm pretty boring.
Well, I'm still in school. I'm actually in law school right now, and so I spend a lot of my time just reading big case books and learning about all the bad things that happen and how that stuff gets resolved through the machinery of law and lawyers. And
I also
stuff.
Like to read books, apocalyptic fiction, like the book Oryx and Crake. I recommend everyone read that book. It's biology going biotechnology taking over the world and everyone dying.
Yeah, and I'm reading Isaac Asimov right now. I've read him before, and you know, it's so good that you just got to go back into it. And like his most famous story, Nightfall, it's about like how there's like seven stars or something with one planet, and then the night that they all get blocked, like everyone goes nuts and sets everything on fire and everyone dies.
Yeah, we like stuff where everyone dies.
If you could open for anyone, who would it be?
I'd have to say I would like to open for the Killers. Panic at the Disco. Because they got... the reason why is because they got discovered by, like, sending an MP3 or something to, like, the bass player or something from Fall Out Boy. And they were just this band that no one has heard of playing in their garage, and all of a sudden they just blew up. And that's kind of what I want to aim for. I just want to get discovered online, just sending demos to random people. So I don't have to do any work. I don't have to go out there promote. I'm just sitting online and sending things to people. So I'd like to open for Panic at the Disco and mention that.
If I could choose anybody, you know, I would either want to open for Madonna or Michael Jackson, but... other than that, I would agree with Gary. I think that some of the up-and-coming bands right now in our music genre, you know, those work too.
So what advice would you give to kids who are dreaming of being rock stars?
Don't be a musician because it sucks. And if you don't know it, you're going to find out in about like 5 or 6 years that it sucks. And it's a lot of work. In a lot of time that you don't know why you did it, but it's also once in a while you get a feeling, and I guess that feeling is worth the trouble you go through, and it's an amazing feeling. And I'll let the kids who want to become rock stars to discover what that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of pretentious to say this, but I don't feel as though anyone should set their goal of becoming a rock star. I think that if you want to play music, you should become a musician. And I honestly don't think that people have a choice in that sense. I think if you are a musician, you become one. I think that if you're, if you have this desire to express yourself, then you're going to find that outlet, and you're going to move in that direction.
All right. So, what goals do you guys have for your band in the future, and where do you hope you guys are going to be headed?
My major goal is to get the band signed to a label somehow so we can get support for recording stuff and touring. And I really hope to take it in a dramatic direction. I want to have a huge concept album that no one will understand and epic songs that bend genres. And I want to get to that point by making a lot of poppy songs at first. And then bombing everyone with my true concept of Aerodrone. So that's my plan.
What does your shirt say?
She says Reeve Oliver, a local San Diego band.
Nice, nice. It just made me want to rock and roll when I saw it. So
it's an awesome graphic. I really like it.
Yeah, I dig it too, you know. It's very retro, feeling
Alrighty. That.
Yeah, and I agree with Gary on that one as well. You know, getting signed has always been the holy grail of every band. I think we're kind of realistic about it too. We've had a number of situations where, you know, scouts find you like, oh, you know, I'm so and so. I'm from the New York office of Atlantic. I'm from the LA office of Columbia. Yep, yep, yep. And I'm like, oh, sweet. The first time I was like, oh, God, so cute. And then, you know, by about the third or fourth time, They come talk to us. I'm just like, blah. I mean, great. You know, we're excited, but we're really eager for something to happen. And hopefully, you know, that stuff's going to come through at the end. But we just got to keep doing what we're doing. Like I said, we're musicians, you know, over rock stars. Substance over the style in this case, even though it might look like we're more about style. We're fashionistas to the core.
We'll keep spending money on music, and I will borrow lots of money from my mom to get this goal accomplished.
Awesome. So one last question, more of kind of a request. Can you guys be good sports and give us a nice big pirate R?
Yeah, you know, I've always thought that pirates would win the epic battle against the ninjas, so I will give you, you know, my ultra R.
Basically, I watched Pirates of the Caribbean number 2, and I love the guy with the tentacles, and then the guy with the hammerhead shark. That guy's the boss, so a big R for that movie and what you guys are doing. It's supporting the R.
And one more thing, I've always felt this, you know, if you go to any of the Disney places, like Disney World, Disneyland, they always have that ride, you know, that the movie's based on. And I always thought it was really crazy and cool because even though it's just for kids, you get there and all you see is a bunch of like adult entertainment, you know, like they're auctioning off women. I'm serious. They're burning down towns and they're just kicking back, you know, like malt. It's just good times, and I think that's a cool ride. So party on.
I put the effort in, I get nothing back. I know my intent is all a matter of chance. I was way too nice, and now I pay that price. I'm not really a friend, I just wanna hook.